served in that role until January 3rd, 2019. Whereas Bob worked in almost every aspect of forest management during his 39-year career, and whereas as the district ranger, he worked closely with the city and borough of Wrangell and the public and other organizations to achieve numerous mutual goals, such as improving public access management in the district, assisting with Birdfest and Bearfest events, assisting on economic development issues, assisting with the Outfitter Guides and the St. John's Land Selection Summer Youth Education Programs, and he partnered with the Nolan to provide high-quality visitor experiences. He worked with the community to establish a system of ATV trails on closed roads for recreation and subsistence use, upgraded the mainland roads on Wrangell, Edlin, and Zrimbo Islands. Bob oversaw an active timber program for small and medium-sized operators, served as the in-season manager for the Stikine River subsistence fishery, and worked with the public and Wrangell Cooperative Association to ensure the sustainable continuation of that fishery. He worked with the borough and federal highways on 2 FLAP grants and oversaw the development of 3 new public recreation cabins. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Stephen Prasunka, mayor of the city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska, do hereby recognize and honor Bob Dalrymple upon the occasion of his retirement and on his many accomplishments in Wrangell. Bob, do you want to come up? I had the pleasure of working with Bob for many years as a crossings director, and Bob was truly an advocate for our community and for youth and getting youth into the forest. So it gives me a great deal of pleasure to present this to you, Bob. Thank you very much.
If I just have a couple of words.
Absolutely.
One of the highlights of my job here as a district ranger was working with the borough. Spent probably the majority of my time with the city managers and with Carol. And I think that's where kind of the nuts and bolts work came. I got some good, strong feedback from the council every once in a while. And I think that helped me come up with some better solutions. And I guess into the future, I think just encourage you to really stay engaged with the Forest Service. And as you were starting to discuss that before, there's a lot of reasons to do that. But we are a big landowner here, and everything that the Forest Service does affects the borough. So it needs to have a constant working relationship with them. So whoever my successor is, I think you'll find them as easy to work with, I hope. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob. Really appreciate it. Okay, roll call, please.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Here.
Morrison?
Here.
DeLong?
Here.
Decker?
Here.
Powell?
Here.
DeBoard?
Here.
And Mayor Prasunka?
Here. Next up, persons to be heard.
Hold on just 1 second.
What's that? Oh, he's waiting. Thank you. All right, so for invocation, we've already had our invocation. We did that actually at our meeting because Pastor Hager had to move on to a counseling session, so we've done that. First up, for under persons to be heard, we have Hake Demersion, and he wants to speak on 11A. Hey, do you want to speak now or wait for 11A? Are you on the phone?
Yes, I am speaking. I think it'd be more appropriate to wait for the public hearing there.
Perfect. We'll get you into 11A then. Jonna has already spoken and she has left. You're welcome. Thank you. Steve Murphy, non-agenda item. Mr. Murphy, would you like to come up and speak?
You bet. One more time.
Steve Murphy. First, I happened to leave out the science at the last meeting I was at, so when I challenged abortion or atheist for not being science, so I had to bring that up. Glasses. Okay, first, I happened to leave out the science about abortion at the last meeting when I said the Democrats, socialists, and atheists were anti-science. Atheists say the baby evolves from a fish to an amphibian to a reptile to a mammal. And that's why they call it a fetus, an animal. That's why the Supreme Court says you could abort it up to the third trimester because this so-called evolution. We know all that to be true or false. I mean, It's a lie. We have ultrasound, etc. We know it's not true. This was proven wrong in the 1870s, actually, but it's still being taught in the science book in high school. It's called the Haeckel's Drawings. In other words, they are forcing their religion on us, and it is a lie. Supreme Court decisions based on fraud. After I left the cat fight at the last meeting, which was kind of interesting, I turned the radio on for change, I heard that a city was threatened with a lawsuit challenging prayer on the agenda. So other cities also dropped prayer on the agenda. Separation church and state is not in the Constitution and has been misinterpreted by the liberal socialist Democrats. Court suits are a bully tactic and have been successful on many subjects. I know all about bullies, as the city, state, and federal government has used the same tactics on me. And I have a 13-win and 1-loss record representing myself. They now leave me alone like the plague, so I think I won. President Trump and Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh showed people how to stand against the Democrat socialists, and that backbone is one reason why I voted for him. I actually thought it was a no-brainer because I think Hillary Clinton is the most corrupt politician we've ever had in this country. Also, I'm looking forward to voting for President Trump again. Too bad I can't vote for him again this year, too. Anyway, atheist governments around the world in the last century killed around 100 million people of their own people, not counting wars. Atheist governments killed about 100 million people of their own people. I don't want to be socialist. A Democrat friends of mine said about 15 to 20 years ago that the U.S. needed to be more like Venezuela, Hugo Chavez. You know, the hot shots running down there and rubbing noses with him. I said, they're crazy. Well, my advice is if you want to have socialism, move to Venezuela. I hear crow tastes pretty good. It's kind of like chicken. I don't think they want to go to Venezuela anymore. Oh, well, by the way, the flag, I mentioned last time, it's wrong. Not that anybody cares. It's American value again, but the flag should go on the other side of the state flag. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Murphy. We will make sure we move that flag.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Mr. Eastoff, Scott, you're down for the noise ordinance, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you want to speak at that time?
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so that's it for persons to be heard right now. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Hearing none, any conflicts of interest? Okay. Consent agenda, do we have a motion?
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Persona?
Yes. Okay. Moving on to Borough Manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a couple of items on my report in addition to the items that were included in the packet for you. The first is to thank the Assembly for me being able to take leave over the last 10 days or so. It was a great trip and an opportunity to check out a little bit, which was a much needed rest, so thank you very much. The second is the clerk is handing out a letter. This is just a draft that's been provided. Last year, the Assembly passed a resolution and authorized a letter talking about transboundary waters, and we've been asked to sign another letter, and if the Assembly would please take a look at this, and if you have any concerns about this letter being massaged a little bit for the mayor to sign, if you could reach out to the clerk and let her know in the next couple of days, that would be great. My understanding is that there are about 40 sport and commercial fishing businesses, trade groups, tourism business, local governments, and tribes that have signed on to this letter. And so if you would just take a look at this and let us know if you've got any concerns, that'd be great.
Can I say something to you over this?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know that yesterday Supreme Court just ruled in favor of John Sturgeon's thing on the hovercrafts on the Nation River up out of the Yukon. And that is going to, you might want to look into the effect of the Stikeen River and the Kotaku, because they talked about that in the article.
So that,
I believe that's just from the U.S. side. I think this was looking specifically more in the transboundary, was it not?
Correct. That's correct.
Is that what it is?
Transboundary.
If you want to follow up with me so that I can understand this other topic a little bit, we can check into that. That'd be great. Thank you.
Not that that's not going to affect things.
Yeah.
Stikeen most definitely will.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead, Julie.
Could I ask the clerk just to make sure she emailed that out?
Yes,
so I can get that.
Yep, I will.
Yeah, and Julie, before I sign it, I think this is right in your wheelhouse, so if you can make sure you get us some feedback and help us to tailor that to make sure we're meeting our needs. Does anybody have any other questions on the borough manager's report?
I've got a couple other things.
Sure.
Mr. Mayor, if that's okay. The other thing I'd like to add is that Lee Burgess, our finance director, is in town, and he and I are going to be meeting with the department directors over the rest of the next 2 weeks to go over the individual department budgets and go through those so that he can put together an operational budget and a capital budget, and so that we can get that information to you guys as established in the schedule. And then the last issue I have is we have an open position in the finance department. I'm just using that as an example. We've done the interviews, and the finance director is ready to make an offer, but there have been a couple of concerns expressed by assembly members that perhaps we should be careful or perhaps consider a hiring freeze maybe until we know what is going on at the state budget level. And so I'm bringing that up just for a bit of discussion from the assembly under my report regarding this. As I mentioned at the public meeting we had, Wrangell is thankfully very well situated to weather this storm at least for a year, so that if let's say the worst case or a bad case scenario comes down with the state budget, we can make some very deliberate decisions. But I would like to know what the assembly's tolerance is for us moving forward right now with business as usual, because if you guys would like us to be taking a more a more conservative approach to things, rather than, let's say, doing a hiring freeze, there may be some other things that we as staff would rather look at and talk about internally and make that offer to the assembly, rather than stopping hiring positions. And so we'd rather look at some other operational considerations if that's the case. So I'm open to hearing you, but before the finance director made the offer to someone for which there is an open position because someone's retiring, I wanted to make sure that we address the concerns that a couple of assembly members have broached to me.
Well, I'm one of those assembly members that has concerns. I appreciate that we are in a good position. I think that's fantastic. But I believe that moving forward without knowing that we want to look at probably trimming and curtailing as much as possible, as well as at the same time accessing some of our savings so that we can maximize the range of our savings versus sort of keeping situation normal and decreasing the amount that we have too quickly. Attrition is far nicer than firing or laying off. And so if we have a position right now that is not filled or is going to become vacant, I'm reticent to hire it right away till we know more about what's going on. And that's what I asked for, was that we had the discussion prior to just filling it, because it is one position. And I recognize that that's a job, and I recognize that, you know, that job has to get done. But I wanted us to have that discussion before we move forward.
Can I ask a question, Mayor?
Yeah.
If we don't fill that position, what will happen to that desk? What will happen to that workload? Will it just be disseminated out
So a couple of, if we take that one position as a specific mm-hmm. instance, that position is basically the accounts payable. So we would have to have other people in the finance department take on that work. And I can't tell you exactly what that would mean, but it would obviously mean some overtime to be able to, so that that can be absorbed by other positions. A fair amount of overtime would be my guess, or let's say potentially a change in the way people, the hours that people work, so we wouldn't be as fully staffed at some times as we are at others, so that people could get in here at off hours times to be able to do additional work.
So is that what you were referring to when you were saying you wanted a chance to have staff look at this? And
I think if there is a request for, I think there is concern that if we end up, let's say we don't fill this position, and it could be any position that happens to be open, if we don't fill a position, because that's the one that opened up through attrition, and that position remains vacant, if all things considered, if operationally we were to look at what is best for the city or for a specific department, the one that came open via attrition might not be the job that is cut.
I see what you're saying.
And so that's what I guess I'm looking for, the latitude to be able to make some different operational considerations or some different operational considerations.
Sorry, go ahead.
This kind of ties in with what I said at the last assembly meeting. There's got to be a mechanism where we can streamline the collection of our delinquent accounts. And that's what I was going to ask. When you meet with Lee and the department heads, if you could put that as a main focus, perhaps that would, if you come up with some sort of streamlined universal method, that may help with this position also.
Yes, this position, that's not what this position does, but...
Oh, I thought you said accounts receivable.
Accounts payable.
Oh, payable, okay.
And I appreciate what you're saying. Lisa, I guess my point is that if you hire this position now, prior to us knowing what we're doing budgetarily, and you're saying this may not be the position we want to cut, and that's completely fair, but the other position that you cut with a staff member who's already employed could move to this position. You see what I'm saying? So if you have to make cuts, this position could be backfilled. So all I'm trying to do, why can't you do that? You can't do that?
Because that position is, we can't really talk about it.
Right.
Those positions are all separate.
So I guess maybe I don't understand, but I would just think that if we have an economic crisis and we have to start shuffling staff around to fill and backfill and do this, and we change, I mean, I don't know how bad drastic it could be, but we may only have City Hall open 3 days a week because people have to cover off the work and we can't have full counter hours or whatever it might be to make it all work. I'm just trying to, if we can hold filling this position or do a temp or do something until we know where we're at budgetarily, it may be just fine. But I do worry that we may, I apologize, my asthma is very bad right now, so we may need to do something down the road, and it would be nice to have flexibility. But maybe I'm missing the point on it.
We have several positions that are open, actually, or that will be coming open, actually, five or six that I can think of off the top of my head. And some of those are non-negotiable, and I would argue that this one, too, that we are using in this specific instance is a non-negotiable position as well. I mean, obviously, if we have a worst-case scenario come to pass, there's always things that can be done to mitigate that. But I guess I would, if I'm getting direction from the majority of the assembly that you would like to see some changes in the way that we're doing business in terms of preparation for a worst case scenario, I'd like to be able to come back to you with some alternatives in the way that we're managing stuff, if that's okay.
I think that's fine, but I think I'm being misconstrued. I don't think I'm communicating effectively. I'm trying not to close doors until we know what the budget is. And so by hiring this position, we've closed a potential door. Once that position is hired, unless we turn around, you know, if we have to, which I doubt, because it sounds like it's an essential position. But I thought there was the possibility for work shifting or doing something potentially that if we decided that we were going to, you know, move somebody from a position here over to here to cover. But if that's not a possibility, then I'm just trying not to close doors prior to we see what the budget is.
That I understand completely.
David?
I would kind of like to see us just not do anything. Our budget is coming up in the next, 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. Just not do anything until we look at our budget. I mean, how do we know that, you know, we're not going to, this is a mute point, is what I'm saying.
It may well be.
What do you mean by it being?
By not hiring or hiring people. I mean, this could be a mute point until we look at our budget and decide what we're going to do with our budget. I haven't got a preliminary budget or anything because they're not out yet. I'd like to look at that. Right. So I'd like to look at that before we give you a nod to restructure anything.
Okay.
Mr.
Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Julie.
I don't mean to belabor this, but I feel like I hear our manager saying that this position is so essential that she doesn't see it being restructured out of the picture, that we need it and to move forward with it. Am I misconstruing that, Lisa?
No, I would say that's accurate, and I guess there are other things we would, in discussions with staff, there are other things I think we would rather look at as a cost savings mechanism rather than holding off on the position to take advantage of transition time with the person who's retiring and other things. And I completely understand the concern in having to give out pink slips. I absolutely understand. And I too am looking for the maximum amount of flexibility with regard to retaining options, as it were, for maximizing our operations in the face of potential budget cuts. But I guess I'd like some flexibility, if that's okay, from the assembly, rather than just saying we have a hiring freeze with regard to this position or any position.
I think if you're confident that if you're faced with a budget crisis that you can make it work, then that's fine. I'll hold my concern.
Okay.
Is that, I'm sensing that everybody's in agreement with that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Anything else, Lisa?
No, I don't have anything else right now, unless someone's got questions about the other reports that were in your packet. The clerk did hand out, we got an updated report from water, and that was passed out in front of you.
I did have some questions about the water.
Okay.
I appreciate the updated report, but it's not giving me the information that I wanted. Old report gave us a year-over-year analysis of where we're at. And through this month, we consumed X amount of water as compared to last year or the year before. So we had the ability to go back and take a look at that. I'd like to see that. The other thing that I would start asking for is I'm a little bit concerned that we're being reactive to our water situation versus being proactive to our water situation. When we proposed the color coding system a few years ago, that was to sort of be our canary in the mine. But I think we need to take it to the next level. And the next level is that we need somebody going up and looking at those creeks and what's the amount of inflow coming in and estimating what the snowpack remaining is. And so that we, right now we're spilling, is my understanding, which is great. So we, I mean, use water because we're sending it down to the ocean. But once we stop spilling, then we need sort of an estimation of there's no snow left and the plants are coming up and we're going to be sucking water. And we look at our 5-year statistical average for this time of year and this is where we're at. So we better get on conservation now, a month before we get to that level.
So I think Roland can speak to this a little bit, but Wayne, our water supervisor, is very proactive about going up and looking at inflows and snowpack and all of that stuff. And we do, admittedly, I have been gone, but the last several days, but these guys are looking at that stuff on an ongoing basis and are alerting me if they think that there's something going on. And yes, we are spilling right now, that's for sure. So I'll let Roland speak to that a little bit more, if he'd like to, Mr. Mayor.
Roland Howell, Public Works Director. yeah, we are watching a lot closer. We're going to, like you just said, be a lot more proactive about getting ahead of this instead of panicking. I think we need to look at the stage one and stage two and stage three criteria and maybe adjust them. Because in my opinion, at stage two, we're already in trouble. So when you look at the consumption we're looking at this summer with 4 construction crews in town, 2 plants running, it's going to be a lot. So we're on top of it, and we do need to have further discussions about this. But yeah, we're definitely being proactive.
Great. So we're going to reevaluate that stage two then and make it more proactive. Great. Thank you. That will help address my concerns. Anybody else on water, Patty?
Not on water, but are we finished with water?
I am.
Any updates on our hazard mitigation plan?
I know there's been some email correspondence between Mr. Simmons and Carol, and I'll let her speak to that.
Yes, we have completed that that hazard mitigation spreadsheet, which is sort of the basis for the mitigation and what have you. They're hoping to have a draft out within the next week to 2 weeks, basically.
Okay.
They're still working on using that information to update the rest of them.
Although I will say I'm slightly concerned, Mr. Mayor and Assemblymember Gilbert, because Scott Simmons announced in an email that he had some considerable personal leave he had to take and was going to be out for weeks, if not months. I think. So I'm a little worried. He was basically said he's going to try to get as much done as he could, we'll keep you posted on what's going on.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Anything else, Lisa?
No, that's it for now, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Clerk's file?
Just what's in front of you.
Simple and to the point. Any questions for our clerk? Thanks, Kim. Mayor and Assembly business. Any reports from the Assembly? Ms. Stewart.
The Search Advisory Council had a special meeting at 5 p.m. Tonight, and they announced our new CEO for the hospital.
Oh.
And I'll try to pronounce her name. It's a woman, Lethea McCurlieff, and she's...
Lethea McCurlieff.
Did I mess up Letha?
Letha.
Oh, okay. Letha. Yeah, Letha. And she's an Alaska woman and born and raised in St. Paul and attended high school at Mount Edgecombe and had her higher education in Alaska. So she'll start April 12th, and Robert Rang, that's his last day.
And is she living in town, or
she will be living in town? Great. Yeah, she hopes to buy a home and settle here for a while.
Thank you.
And she wants to attend the Assembly meetings.
Perfect.
So
that's fantastic.
We'll get to meet her. Oh,
good.
Julie, do you have any updates for us?
No, I don't think I do. Thanks for asking.
Well. I've got a couple things. I want to congratulate our girls' basketball team for winning regional first time in, 25 years? 25 years. Wow. That's absolutely amazing. So fantastic work, and I think they played their hearts out at state. Just didn't happen, but they made it, and that's a lot of hard work by a lot of parents and coaches and over the years. Sorry?
We should have at the next meeting.
Well, at the next meeting. What's that, sorry, Julie?
I said I forgot that piece of information.
Well, I just want to say that, you know, that team, they started, I know Penny Allen's been instrumental, and Gary Allen and a few other folks have been instrumental in doing the younger kids basketball, UAA or whatever it's called. And that's what happens when you have that early playing, and those kids have just really blossomed, so I'm very proud of them. I have another update on SEPA for folks. Our water level at Tyee as of this morning was 1285, just below 1285. 1265. I wish it was 1285. We were down to 1258, and we've come back up with the snow melt. Sunday, they turned the generators off. Excuse me, and we've gone back to 100% hydro. I do have some questions and a few concerns about this move. And I'm watching it very closely to see how far we draft down, because we're about, you know, we've got a meeting on Friday,
Thursday.
But we're going to be watching it very closely, and of course there'll be no sales to the south until we've reached. But I will say we are back on the guide curve, which is at the bottom, so we can now see how we start to trend back up moving forward. But the next 10 days there's minimal inflows from precipitation. So we are watching it closely. We will continue to watch it closely. They're doing meetings each Tuesday, as always, and we'll move along cautiously.
Mr. Mayor, if I may add to that.
Yes.
My concern is that SEPA had us come 100% off generator power on the north end because, you know, they've agreed to pay reimbursed diesel and overtime costs for running our generators through the end of the month, and they're having to pay out. The worse it is for SEPA, but that is not necessarily what's best for the communities. And what I'm concerned with is that we now have water, and that water will be drawn down again to the, you know, to the maximum base level that it can be, and then we'll have to ramp all the way up on generator power rather than than just having run a portion of our generators for a period of time. To keep things sort of even keel and allow us to have the maximum capacity and reliability for our generator power. So that's something I'll be working with the mayor on to make sure that we're addressing with SEPA, that we're not doing this sort of a thing.
We do have, as a part of the agreement that was made with Ketchikan originally in terms of the sort of payback process for the power that was originally sold, we do have 2 gigawatts. That are still owed to us out of Swan. And Swan typically melts sooner than Tyee. So hopefully we'll be able to use some of that to, you know, displace out of Swan to help grow our reservoir again. But we will keep on it, and we'll keep the assembly informed. I would like to arrange to have the SEPA lawyer and Trey Atkinson attend one of our meetings. In our last board meeting in Ketchikan, he gave a analysis of the power sales agreement, which I found to be somewhat interesting. And I would like, instead of me trying to encapsulate what was said, I would like them to come and explain to us how they're envisioning the power sales agreement and make sure that everybody's on board. So we can try to arrange that moving forward to have those two folks come up and talk to us about the issues that we're facing moving forward with SEPA. I want to circle back to This Is Power, but what's the situation with the Nome generators?
I need to sit down with Rod and find out where we're at with that, and then I'll get back to the assembly.
Okay. And, okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Any other assembly reports? None. Okay, moving along. Assembly appointments. We had one vacancy on Planning and Zoning Commission until October 2021. There was one letter received for this vacancy, Kate Hine. And if there's no objections, I'll appoint Kate Hine to fill the vacancy on Planning and Zoning until October 21. And seeing no objections, Kim, would you please make sure that happens? That's very exciting. Does that give us a full slate?
It does.
It does. I think that may be the first time since I've been on here. That's fantastic. Thank you, Kate. Okay.
Kate gets a lifetime appointment. Congratulations.
Kate, that's a lifetime appointment. All right, moving on. We're public hearing. Ordinance number 957 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adding a new section, 9.08.085, excessive noise prohibited, to Chapter 9.08, Nuisances, Title 9, Health and Safety of the Wrangell Municipal Code. I will declare the public hearing open, and I'll ask if there's any administrative report on this public hearing item.
Mr. Mayor, just that the changes that were requested at the last meeting have been made in there. I will also add that one of the changes that is not in there that we've had a request for consideration, that's additional, has come from Assemblymember Powell. Initially, he wanted the hours to begin at 6 a.m., and he has since requested that we back that off to 7 a.m., but because it was not something that was agreed upon by the Assembly at the last meeting, it is not included in the changes but is noted in the agenda statement. So I wanted to bring your attention to that.
So if the Assembly would like to discuss that at the appropriate time, certainly can. Is there anything else for administratively?
Not right now.
Thank you. Mr. Demersian, are you still on the line?
Yeah, good evening, folks.
Good evening. Do you want to speak to this in the public hearing?
Yeah, you bet. Hayden Demersian, 577 Evergreen Avenue. It would be a lot easier, I suppose, if I was there, but we'll be back for a couple of days, so I'm having to do this over the phone. So we'd like to voice our support for the new enhanced nuisance laws for Wrangell, specifically for the new proposed noise ordinance 956, 957, and 958. Over the past 20 years, my family has endured repeated noise and junk violations that never should have been allowed to continue. The city has been lax in developing new laws that protect the rights of residential property owners. Each time we have had to call the police over the last 20 years, they have stated that enforcement of noise and junk laws was impossible because of the lack of proper nuisance and penalty laws in Wrangell codes. Now, hopefully, we can develop new enforceable nuisance laws that address the issues that sorely need to be dealt with in our town. I have stated to you and the PNZ that in proposed ordinance 957, exemptions 7, 8, and 10, in my opinion, are too subjective as to the types of allowable activities in residential zones, and therefore harder to enforce than they should be. You are leaving the judgment call as to what are normal or reasonable activities in a particular area up to the responding officer. This could easily be remedied by adding general types of activities that would be allowed or disallowed in residential zones, establishing a framework to base a judgment. This would not affect existing businesses engaging in industrial activities that are already located in residential areas throughout the town. The type of change I am suggesting would make for a cleaner, more enforceable law when looking at exemptions 7, 8, and 10. I know that other towns of the southeast have laws that respect the rights of property owners and yet allow for typical southeast Alaska type homeowner activities. This is what we should be striving for, and it is our hope that we can achieve it. Thanks for considering our concerns once again.
Thank you, Mr. Demersian. Mr. Easta.
Scott Easta, 583 Evergreen Avenue. I'm not going to try to beat a dead horse here, but I only want to say one little small thing. I keep hearing about the issue about this shouldn't be brought to the assembly, which I kind of think it shouldn't either. And it has to do with two neighbors. Well, I don't have a problem with anyone. I've never called the cops on any of my neighbors ever. I don't have any, doesn't matter what he does. I mean, he can do his own thing, I can do my own thing. And I find it kind of disparaging, kind of, it hurts my feelings that everybody around town, oh, there's two neighbors fighting. I don't have a problem with anyone. I'm just trying to live my life. And if you don't believe me, there was a young man that lived across the street in Bucky Berge's old rental house. I won't say his name, but I'm sure he'd come and testify. I've talked to him. He received the same kind of harassment by the other individual about the same kind of stuff. So it's not just me. It's kind of hard to make some people happy, if you know what I mean. And one other thing, Mr. White at the last public hearing said something about, you know, people have to try to get what they get done during the summer because of the light. And I have no problem with the hours, but I think it would almost be kind of nice to have a shoulder schedule so it was a little bit later, possibly in the summertime. Anyways, thank you for your consideration. You guys have been real impartial.
I want to bring back something that was said in the last meeting, and I want to highlight it yet once again. This was brought forward to planning and zoning as a part of a regular review and maintenance. Mr. Demersian never brought this forward, never asked for this to be put on the agenda. We went through the regular planning and zoning process, just as we've done for the towing ordinance. And we're going to have other ordinances coming forward that we're going to be reviewing. This had nothing to do with two neighbors having issues. I think what took place was one of the people in question here decided to come to the meetings as a citizen and voice their concerns, and that's their right to do. And it's the other person's right to come down and say their piece, and that's a part of the democratic process. But this was not initiated by either or of the two parties that have been speaking out the most. So I want to be really clear about that. We're going to close off our public hearing unless there's anybody else in the audience that would like to speak. Okay, I will now entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 957.
It's been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
We'll let Ann have that one. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion. Mr. Powell, did you want to discuss the hours?
Yeah. With all the exemptions and everything on here, I kind of, you know, I think I've read this thing 100 times. And every time I read it, I get a little bit of difference on it and stuff. And there are a lot of exemptions on here. So in talking to some people after the last meeting about the 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. with all the exemptions, I think we should just leave it alone from 7 to 8 p.m. And that's the only hour change I'd like to make. I still believe that Monday through Saturday is fine, and Sundays. We just did have a holiday that I think all the town worked except for the city. So I think that holiday should be out of there. I mean, you start talking about holidays, you got the 4th of July, which is the noisiest holiday of the year.
Do you want to make a motion change?
I'd like to make a motion to change the hours to back to 7 to 8.
Okay, so that's under Section 10,
Motor Vehicle Maintenance?
Where would that be?
Throughout.
Kim, go ahead.
That's throughout the whole
throughout.
Ordinance. So,
okay, so we're going to have it
through. Are you making a motion to amend?
Motion to amend.
Okay. I'll second.
That would be weekday hours. Monday through Saturday will now be 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. So it's been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Discussion on the motion, on the amendment. Poll vote, please.
Assemblymember DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Prusanka?
Yes. So now the original motion is back on with the amendment in place. Is there any further discussion on the original motion, which is the acceptance of the ordinance. Jim?
So I need some clarification, because in page 58 here, it says consideration of changes to the noise code was initiated by a complaint from a residential landowner against his neighbor.
Where is
this? Page 58.
Well, that wasn't what I was told.
Well, that's...
That wasn't what I
understood. Fair enough. Either, if it was written by Carol? Carol, is that the case?
It's a mixture. There was a complaint by a landowner to have the situation addressed. Prior to that, this draft nuisance ordinance had been proposed. So the Planning and Zoning Commission trying to address a complaint situation that was going through the Planning and Zoning Commission looked at the noise specifically because that was what the complaint was about, and then made recommended changes to the noise portion of the nuisance ordinance.
I will add to that, though, but as I said at the last meeting, the noise portion of the ordinance was the only thing that is within the zoning code.
Correct.
And so that is the main reason why planning and zoning was looking.
Okay, so originally it was coming up, and then because there was a complaint, it was moved along through the process. Is that what you're saying?
The noise portion was moved.
Noise portion was moved through.
Yes.
Okay. Does that settle that for you, Jim? Okay.
Because there are.
Is there any other discussion? Do you have anything else?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just a couple things here. I worry about the unintended consequences for the entire community of this. We've asked our police officers to address more of the major concerns in the past public meetings, and I feel this is going to be a step in the opposite direction. And then the big thing is the enforcement aspect of this. I don't know if it's really even enforceable, because if the officer has to go determine where the property line is,
and stand on the property.
And a few feet can actually be pretty significant. I tried to find something that was actually relevant. So I found some research out of LSU on some chainsaws, and a steel model 44 registers 76 decibels at full throttle at 10 feet. At 20 feet, it drops to 68 decibels. Husqvarna 272 at full throttle, 78 at 10 feet. Dropping to 76 at 15 feet and 74 at 20 feet. And then the location matters too. When we went to the side of the chainsaw, the decibels were significantly higher. So what I'm saying, a few feet can make a huge difference in one of these instances. And I don't even know where the property lines exactly are between my neighbors. I just see that as being an issue for the enforcement side. And maybe we could hear from the chief of police and his perspective of that, since he's here.
You bet. The question that I have for you is, what are you proposing if we don't have some type of noise ordinance? Are you saying open it up? Just let people do whatever they want, whenever they want?
I don't know. I'm just saying that it's going to be a very subjective, and it's going to be hard to enforce. I don't really know what the answer to that is.
Because my understanding from reading the previous ordinance, there was decibels in there. We've always had decibels in there. And so this is trying to clear up the decibel situation. The enforcement is always going to be somewhat subjective, in my opinion. It just is that because by the time the police get there, typically it's stopped. And 90% of the time it stopped. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, if somebody's running their wood chipper, you've got to have some standard. But if the chief wants to talk about enforcement, that's fine. But I guess my point is if we auger in at this point about, do we even need a noise ordinance? This is, and I've heard that. I've heard people come here and say, this is Alaska. It's my right to do whatever I want on my property. Well, yeah, no. I mean, it's not your right to burn a bunch of tires and have that blow into my house. That's not your right. We have some laws. So I guess my question is are we at the point in the third reading where we're questioning having a noise ordinance? We can go back to the drawing board. I'd be open to somebody coming back to us and saying, here's a better way to measure noise. But, I think they're trying to quantify probably something that's pretty difficult to quantify because it's in an ordinance. But I don't know how else to do it.
Mr. Ed?
Go ahead, Julie.
I just had a question. Maybe staff can provide me some background to the last assembly meeting, but under 8 vessels, the word personal was struck out prior to, the phrase personal boat or vessel. Could someone give me some background on the reasoning there?
You bet. That was brought by Mr. Taylor. He has a charter boat, and he does light maintenance on his charter boat. So it's not a personal watercraft. It's actually a chartered watercraft. So that, or if you had a fishing boat that you chartered or something, you by personal boat, then it would not allow them to do the minor work on their work boat.
Okay,
does that help, Julie?
Yeah, I can understand that reasoning. Although for me, if the work boat is owned by the person on the land, that also owns the home and residence, that's kind of what that's getting at. So that they're not doing it for other people, which would imply a commercial operation for boat maintenance in a residential area, for instance, which to me, shouldn't get an exemption, what I'm saying? Just because if you're running an actual commercial operation, you probably should do it in an area zoned commercial. That's kind of what was my thoughts, but I don't know if anyone else is thinking along the same line.
David?
So Julie, one of the things I kind of brought this up also was, and I see where you're coming from. I brought this up because, I used to crab and my little skiff had commercial numbers on it, but also it was my boat. Is that where you're coming from?
Well, I guess what I was thinking is if the residential, if the owner of the house, let's say a home, the owner also owns a commercial fishing vessel, and they bring it to their house and they're doing maintenance on, but it's their own personal boat, know what I'm saying? Like it's not, like they're bringing every week, they're bringing somebody else's boat to their property and doing maintenance on it. So it's a never ending project, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like a business. That's why I'm just trying to sort out business versus your own, even if you're using it for business, commercial purposes, but it's the resident owner that owns the boat.
So as I understand it then is, and you are correct, if it was my, I kind of misled that then because both those boats were mine, they're my personal boats, even though they're a commercial vessel, they're still my personal boat. So it wouldn't make no difference if personal was in there or not. What would make a difference with personal not being there is I could bring Steve's boat to my house to work on it. Is that what you're saying?
Correct, yeah. Okay.
Well, I think we already have rules regarding commercial operation in a residence. You cannot start going and welding on somebody else's boat and charging them money from your house. No, you're not zoned correctly, and you would have to have a business license, and you should be collecting tax. And so we do have other things that if somebody starts to run a commercial operation, then there would be ways to come down. I think the idea there was strictly to allow somebody who has a commercial boat that wants to do their own maintenance on their own boat, on their own property, that we were flexible enough with that. There's a lot of, jet boat operators and small, charter fishing people. Does that explain it? Is that good for you, Julie, or do you want to keep going at it?
No, I think that satisfies me. Thank you.
Okay. David.
And in regards to Mr. Eastaw's thing, what Mr. White said about hours in the summertime, we also in here, you can get a permit for, like, if you're building a house and you need to work till 10, you can come here and get a permit for 2 more weeks or a month to take care of that. So we're not really restricting that. You just have to come and get a permit to do it. So I believe that the hours are fine.
think I'm seeing that nobody else has any other points, so...
Call for the question.
Yeah. Sorry, Ann, did you have something?
I just said call for the question.
Okay, thank you.
So you have to take a vote on...
We're going to vote...
...the question. You have to take a vote on
the question. Yeah, that's the point of order. Yeah.
Okay, sounds good.
Either that, or if nobody has any questions, then you can go ahead and poll vote.
Poll vote, please. We're getting that sick illegal stuff coming in here.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
No.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Persaud?
Yes. Okay, ordinance number 956, the assembly. Oh, sorry, we've got a public hearing next.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep on my little agenda here. That was 957, 956. Ordinance number 956 is the Assembly of the City of Burrell, Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 20.52.060, noise, in chapter 20.52, standards of the Wrangell.
Excuse me.
Yes?
I'm sorry, point of order. Did we vote on the amendment?
Yes, we did.
We did.
Okay, sorry.
Thank you.
Anything else? Ordinance number 956 of the Assembly of the City of Burrell of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 20.52.060, noise, in chapter 20.52, standards of the Wrangell Municipal Code. It's a public hearing. Is there any administrative report on
Mr.
the
Mayor,
public hearing
just,
item?
Just a reminder for the audience here and for the listening public that we have added a new noise section with the passage of Ordinance 957 to the nuisance section of the. Because noise is listed in the zoning code in several places, what ordinance number 956 does is make reference to this new noise ordinance section in the zoning code. So that's what this ordinance does.
Thank you. Any public comment? Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing and we will entertain the motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 956.
Been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
And Mayor Persaud?
Yes. Okay. Another public hearing, ordinance number 958 of the Assembly City of Burrell, Wrangell, Alaska, amending the minor offense fine schedule in chapter 1.20, general penalty of the Wrangell Municipal Code. Declare the public hearing open. Is there any administrative report?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, just a reminder that ordinance number 958 is tied to 957 and 956, and that it adds the infractions in the new noise ordinance to the fine schedule that we have in chapter 1.20 of the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Thank you. Is any, nobody signed up, but does anybody have a comment on that? Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing and I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 958.
Been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion. Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Persaud?
Yes. Okay. Moving on to, we have no unfinished business, and moving on to new business. Resolution.
Okay. What about
that? Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Ordinance number 960 of the Assembly of the City Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 5.08.050, exemptions from tax, and section 5.08.060, tax-free days, in chapter 5.08, sales tax of the Wrangell Municipal Code.
Move to adopt ordinance number 960.
This is a public hearing.
Oh, public hearing.
I'm sorry. This isn't written up as a public hearing, or did I mess it up?
It's under public hearing.
I apologize. It is a public hearing.
Okay, so
it's under that section in that ordinance.
Yeah, no problem. I just didn't have a public hearing sheet up. So I will declare this public hearing open. Is there any administrative report?
Mr. Mayor, just a reminder that we're at a public hearing and second reading of this change to the exemptions from the tax code. And what this is doing is making the days associated with the 3-day open so that whatever the best days to be requested for the year can be made rather than tying them to two specific months. The other thing that it does is it cleans up the section, the exemption section of the code related to medical services and devices as well.
Thank you. Is there anybody who want to comment on that? Hearing none, we'll close this public hearing and I'll entertain a motion.
Move to adopt ordinance number 960.
It's been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. All right. No unfinished business. Moving on to new business now. Resolution number 03-19-1445, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the City and Borough of Wrangell to provide and certify certain information that will permit the Southeast Alaska Power Agency to refund for savings its outstanding 2009 bonds and establishing an effective date.
Move to approve resolution number 03-19-1445.
We move. Do we have a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion. Lisa.
Essentially, what's going on is SEPA has bonds that it sold in 2009, and they are going to refinance those bonds at a lower interest rate, thus providing savings to the organization. So this resolution authorizes SEPA to do that, and each one of the member communities, Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg, have to pass the exact same resolutions and certify to certain things that allows the agency to be able to refinance those bonds. So it's a financial benefit for the Assembly to approve this resolution.
I have several questions. You mentioned the 2009 bonds that they're going to refinance, but yet we have the amended and restated indenture of trust that mentions the series 2015 bonds. Now, did the 2009 bonds, did they refinance those?
So there are, as I understand it, there is more than one tranche of 2009 bonds. So they previously did a portion of them in 2015, and they're doing the last tranche of 9 bonds now. So I believe that's why the 2015 are listed there.
Okay, well then, why don't they have the dollar value in there? Now, the resolution itself says not to exceed roughly $5.6 million, but in the body of this trust that we're signing on to, there's no dollar figure there. And I do understand that it varies, you know, from one day to the next. But it just seems like we're signing an incomplete document.
They have a legal team that does their bonding for them.
Right.
And because we're it's like a semi-governmental agency. We're not a 501c3. We're not an S corp. We're this weird utility agency. They have to get certain bonding counsel to do certain things. If I'm trying to describe it in my best lay terms here, in terms of my own ignorance, but I know that there's the final number will come when the final placement of the bond is rewritten. If that makes sense. So I'm assuming, Patty, that they're trying to leave it open because they won't know the exact figure till that final placement, is my understanding.
Well, it's kind of interesting when you read the whole document. I would like to know what the total bond debt for SEPA is, and I think we should have that information, and we should get their budget. Can
you
we
bet.
Get
I,
that provided?
Because absolutely.
In that document, it states that you have to be, SEPA has to be 120% above their annual debt responsibilities. And I'm not,
we
I mean,
carry,
is SEPA that healthy? 120% above.
Of the annual bond debt.
Yeah, the annual,
not the total,
right.
Not the total, right.
So we have certain reserves that are placed just to cover off those sort of things. There's certain reserves.
Okay.
But I can, the last, we had financials at the last meeting, which would have been in January, correct?
Yes.
In Ketchikan. So I'll forward those to everybody. Okay, I'll arrange those.
Okay.
To come out to everybody.
And so that we know the total debt for SEPA?
Yeah,
that
I believe
be
that in the financials that it listed the total debt. It's pretty extensive.
I think it's in the packet there. If you look at
no, this is I just put this.
Oh,
online.
I'm sorry.
I read the whole
no,
60
no, no.
pages.
I apologize. Kim just pulled up the SEPA financials.
It's on their website.
Okay. okay, I'll look at that,
and
then
the BDO audit is there. Is
okay.
The financial statement is there. Is the question I have is this something you want before we take action on this?
Well, you guys know me. I'm really iffy about voting on something where I don't have all the blanks filled in. And also, do we have to approve a loan agreement? It says that we may have to approve a loan agreement along with this.
If there's a loan agreement that comes, that would have to be a separate action.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead, Julie.
Oh, just a quick question that kind of piggybacks Assemblymember Gilbert. Page 97 of our packet, there's a paragraph that starts, whereas as authorized the resolution number 2015-058, oh, excuse me, one after that, whereas 2009 bonds that remain outstanding through the following, and they have $2.6 million and $2.985 million. Is that the number that Patty was looking for? Is that what we're?
I looked at that earlier, but I don't.
Sort of refinancing.
I can't speak to SEPA's total bonded indebtedness. I don't. I apologize that I don't have that answer. That may be very well the rest of the bonded indebtedness, but I'm not positive.
Would it be, Lisa, do you know that was SEPA asking for this immediately?
They were asking for this by the end of the month.
By the end of the month.
Yeah, that doesn't give us time. So we can get the information that's being requested to the assembly in the next day or so. We can ask that of SEPA. And if anybody's got a red flag, we can address that once we get the information out.
Well, I probably, what we should have is somebody from SEPA here.
I agree.
With the finance to answer these questions. We should have the CEO here, because I can't. I just don't understand that well enough.
It's complicated, and until you mentioned the 2015 being part of the 2009,
I'm making an assumption on that. I don't know with 100% certainty, Assemblymember Gilbert.
That's what it looks like.
But more than I do know that there was more than one tranche of 2009 bonds, and they have refinanced part of that already.
Okay.
We can also ask for the bond council to speak to us. Go ahead. Sorry, Julie.
That's okay. I don't know. I read that paragraph to say that it's what they're trying to refinance is, you know, approximately $5.6 million. And you know, they have like $130 million in assets or hundreds of millions of dollars in assets. It's doesn't seem like it's actually a large amount for that organization, and you know, I know there's lots of lawyers that look at this stuff, so I'm pretty comfortable myself to move forward tonight, but that's just me.
It does give a not to exceed number, though.
Assembly
right.
Member Powell.
Yeah, well, if you add those up, that's 2.58 or 2.59. Or what is it? Yeah, 2.59. So if they're not to exceed it, I mean, they're not even going to exceed that. I'd feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, too. But then sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
The maturity dates are all wacko because I don't want to beat this to death, but the maturity dates are all over the place. So
2021 and 2024 for the two different interest rates.
Well, the 2015 matures in 2025. That's on page 29. So it is extremely confusing if you try to track the money.
So,
and
Mr. Mayor, go if ahead. I can just recap. Total bond debt, the SEPA budget, we can email out the link or the financial statements. And you'd like maturity date information and an explanation about the reference to the 2015 already refinanced.
Correct. And the total bond debt?
I have that on the list already.
Okay.
Is there anything else you'd like us to follow up with?
No. I think I can figure out the 120%.
Okay.
Overage. I'm sure they have an escrow account for this and so forth. We can just wait for the attorneys to plug in the blanks.
Okay.
With the appropriate.
Are you comfortable with us moving ahead?
Yeah,
voting? Okay.
I am.
Is there any other questions? Hearing none. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Persaud?
Yes. Resolution number 03191446 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the participation agreement with the Public Employees Retirement System of the State of Alaska, PERS, by updating previous amended numbers 8 by adding the borough manager to said agreement.
Move to approve resolution number 03-19-1446. It amends the PERS agreement with the State of Alaska by adding the borough manager to said agreement.
Move. Second. We have a second.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Just to explain, we are moving the borough manager's position into PERS, that was decided as a part of the city manager's evaluation process. So that position will become a PERS position from this day forward.
As of March 1st.
March 1st. Okay.
And then we will discontinue the $15,000 contribution to ICMA, correct?
Correct.
Well.
Retroactively. Yeah, it's a part of the calculation when we did it. That was a part. Having that money not being paid was a part of our calculation. Any other questions on that or comments?
I won't double dip.
And then the clerk can tell us that there was a change.
What's that?
In the resolution.
Yes. Well, no. There. Do you want me to explain that? I sent you a follow-up email.
Oh, I didn't.
That it was correct, or it is correct. So basically in the heading, it says that this is number 9. And it's updating the previous amendment number 8.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're okay. It's kind of confusing, but the resolution language came from the state, so, you know.
Okay.
It must be.
So that's been moved and seconded, and any further discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Persaud?
Yes. Resolution number 03191447, the Assembly of the City Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for the amendment of the job description for the Nolan Center Facility Manager. So recommend a motion.
Move to approve resolution number 03-19-1447, providing for the amendment of the job description for the Nolan Center facility manager.
Moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Discussion. Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Stecker?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's files available for assembly review in the borough clerk's office. Item 15, executive session. There is none. And item 16 is adjournment.